challenges the myths that leadership is something that you find only at the highest levels of organizations and society, and that it's something reserved for only a handful of charismatic men and women. The notion that there are only a few great people who can lead others to greatness is just plain wrong. Likewise, it is wrong to suggest that leaders come only from large or small or already great or new organizations or from established economies or from certain industries, functions, or disciplines. The truth is, leadership is an identifiable set of skills and abilities that are available to anyone. It is because there are so many, not so few, leaders that extraordinary things happen on a regular basis in organizations, especially in times of great uncertainty. Another crucial truth that weaves itself throughout every situation and every leadership action is that personal best leadership experiences are never stories about solo performances. Leaders never make extraordinary things happen all by themselves. Leaders mobilize others to want to struggle for shared aspirations, and this means that, fundamentally, leadership is a relationship. Leadership is a relationship between those who aspire to lead and those who choose to follow. You can't have one without the other. To lead effectively, you have to appreciate fully the fundamental dynamics of the leader-constituent relationship. A leader-constituent relationship characterized by fear and distrust will never produce anything of lasting value. A relationship characterized by mutual respect and confidence will overcome the greatest adversities and leave a legacy of significance. That is precisely what Yamin Durrani told us about his relationship with Bobby Mattenpoor, marketing manager at National Semiconductor, now part of Texas Instruments, who came aboard just after the company had gone through a massive reorganization followed by a huge layoff. Company-wide, there was a general lack of motivation, sense of mistrust, insecurity, and everyone was looking after their own interest, Yamin said. Our group in particular was suffering from low motivation, as we didn't trust each other. I dreaded going to the office, and there was too much internal competition leading to breakdowns in communication. Bobby realized that he was going to have to get people to trust one another. His very first initiative was to sit with individual team members to understand their desires, needs, and plans. For the first month, he spent most of the time learning and trying to understand what each person aspired to and enjoyed doing. He held weekly one-on-one meetings with individual team members, asked questions, and listened attentively to what they had to say. His friendly style and honest, straightforward approach, said Yamin, led team members to open up and feel secure. He never acted as if he knew everything and was open to learning new things from the team. Bobby understood that he couldn't gain the respect of the team without respecting them and allowing them the freedom to take ownership of their projects. Bobby opened up lines of communication within the team, especially by encouraging greater face-to-face interactions. In management meetings, when a question was asked, even though he could have provided the answer himself, Bobby typically referred it to one of his team members, stating, for example, "Yamin is an expert on this topic. I will let him answer this question." During the annual sales conference attended by hundreds of company employees, he let the most junior team member make the group presentation, while the whole team stood behind the presenter to answer questions. Yamin observed that, being new to the group, Bobby could have easily fallen into the trap of trying to prove himself by individually contributing in projects or acting as a gatekeeper for information flow. However, he opted to trust his team members on projects and took advice from them as for the approach to take on a particular project. He never forced his ideas. In other words, my way or the highway was not his style. He encouraged team members to take initiative and acted as an advisor on projects and let the ownership remain with the individual team member. The results of Bobby's leadership were significant. The unit's revenue increased by 25%, and the product pipeline overflowed with product ideas. Team spirit soared, people felt engaged, and a general sense of collaboration and teamwork developed. I personally had not felt more empowered and trusted ever before, Yameen told us. From this experience, I've realized that great leaders grow their followers into leaders themselves. As Bobby so well demonstrated in the way he focused on others and not on himself, success in leadership, success in work, and success in life are a function of how well people work and play together. Because leadership is a reciprocal process between leaders and their constituents, any discussion of leadership has to appreciate the dynamics of this relationship. Strategies, tactics, skills, and practices are empty without an understanding of the fundamental human aspirations that connect leaders and their constituents. Model the way, inspire a shared vision, challenge the process, enable others to act, and encourage the heart are the leadership practices that emerge from thousands of personal best leadership cases. However, they paint only a partial portrait of what's going on, because leaders don't make extraordinary things happen all by themselves. The full picture requires an understanding and appreciation of what constituents expect from their leaders. You earn leadership from the people you aspire to lead. People choose on a daily basis whether they are going to follow and commit completely their talents, time, and energy. In the end, leaders don't decide who leads. Followers do. Leadership is something you experience in an interaction with another human being. The experience varies from leader to leader, from constituent to constituent, and from day to day. No two leaders are exactly alike, no two constituent groups are exactly alike, and no two days in the life of leaders and constituents are exactly alike. Great leadership potential is discovered and unlocked when you seek to understand the desires and expectations of your constituents, and when you act on them in ways that are congruent with their norms and image of what an exemplary leader is and does. What leaders say they do is one thing. What constituents say they want, and how well leaders meet these expectations, is another. Knowing what people want from their leaders is the only way to complete the picture of how leaders can build and sustain the kind of relationships that will make extraordinary things happen. What people look for and admire in their leaders. To understand leadership as a relationship, we have investigated the expectations that constituents have of leaders. Over the years, we have asked people to tell us the personal traits, characteristics, and attributes they look for and admire in a person whom they would be willing to follow. The responses both affirm and enrich the picture that emerged from studies of personal leadership bests. Our research on what constituents expect of leaders originally began by surveying thousands of business and government executives. In response to the open-ended question about what they looked for in a person they would be willing to follow, hundreds of different values, traits, and characteristics were reported. Subsequent content analysis by independent judges, followed by further empirical analyses, reduced these items to a checklist of 20 attributes, which we call the Characteristics of Admired Leaders, CAL. Using CAL, we ask people to select the 7 qualities that they most look for and admire in a leader, someone whose direction they would willingly follow. The key word in the preceding sentence is willingly. It's one thing to follow someone because you think you have to or else, and it's another when you follow a leader because you want to. What do people expect from an individual they would follow, not because they have to, but because they want to? What does it take to be the kind of leader that others want to follow, doing so enthusiastically and voluntarily? Over 100,000 people around the globe have responded to the CAL checklist. The survey results have been remarkable in their consistency over the years. There are some essential character tests individuals must pass before others are willing to grant them the designation leader. While every characteristic receives votes, meaning that each is important to some people, what is most evident and striking is that for over 3 decades, there are only 4 qualities that have always received more than 60% of the votes, with the exception of inspiring in 1987, which was valued by 58% at that time. Despite all the dramatic changes in the world, what people most look for in a leader has been amazingly stable. For the majority of people to follow someone willingly, they want a leader who they believe is honest, competent, inspiring, forward-looking. In addition, these same four characteristics rank consistently at the top across different countries. We also found that the ranking doesn't significantly vary across cultures, ethnicities, organizational functions and hierarchies, genders, levels of education, and age groups. And we'll say a bit more about this shortly. The examination of admired leader attributes is very consistent with hundreds of interviews we've conducted, asking people to tell us about the most credible leader they have ever experienced. Compare how the characteristics of honest, competent, forward-looking, and inspiring are embedded into what Melinda Jackson, corporate recruiter for a multinational technology company, told us about her most admired leader. I remember her deep knowledge of the work, clear vision for the future, incredible support and care for those around her, and her stark authenticity. She believed wholeheartedly in what we were doing and led with a fervor that encouraged even my most pessimistic co-workers to follow. Such stories and the characteristics of admired leaders mirror the actions people describe in their personal best leadership experiences. The five practices of exemplary leadership and the behaviors of people admired as leaders are complementary perspectives on the same subject. When they're performing at their peak, leaders are doing more than just getting results. They're also responding to the behavioral expectations of their constituents, underscoring the point that the relationship is one of service to a purpose and service to people. As we weave the themes of being honest, forward-looking, competent, and inspiring into the text of the subsequent chapters on the five practices, you'll see in more detail how exemplary leaders respond to the needs of their constituents. For example, being regarded as honest is essential if a leader is to model the way. The leadership practice of inspire a shared vision requires being forward-looking and inspiring. When leaders challenge the process, they also enhance the perception that they're dynamic. Trustworthiness, often a synonym for honesty, plays a major role in how leaders enable others to act, as does the leader's own competency. Likewise, leaders who recognize and celebrate significant contributions and accomplishments, who encourage the heart, increase their constituents' understanding of and commitment to the vision and values. When leaders demonstrate capacity in all of the five practices, they show others they have the competence to make extraordinary things happen. Let's examine why each of these characteristics is essential for creating a sustainable relationship between those who would be willing to follow and those who aspire to lead others. We'll also discover in the process the foundation on which leaders must build that sustainable relationship. Honest. In every survey we've conducted, honesty is selected more often than any other leadership characteristic. Overall, it emerges as the single most important factor in the leader-constituent relationship. The percentages vary, but the final ranking does not. First and foremost, people want a leader who is honest. It's clear that if people anywhere are to willingly follow someone, whether it's into battle or the boardroom, in the front office or on the production floor, they first want to be sure that the individual is worthy of their trust. They want to know that the person is truthful, ethical, and principled. When people talk to us about the qualities they admire in leaders, they often use integrity and authentic as synonyms for honesty. No matter what the setting, people want to be fully confident in their leaders, and to be fully confident, they have to believe that their leaders are individuals of authentic character and solid integrity. That over 80% of constituents want their leaders to be honest above all else is a message that every leader must take to heart. After all, Jennifer McCray, an engineer with the City of San Jose, explained, "Why would you want to follow someone if you suspected that they were lying or trying to trick you? Honesty is the basis of trust, and you have to believe that what the leader speaks or knows is true." Of all the qualities that people look for and admire in a leader, honesty is by far the most personal. People want their leaders to be honest because a leader's honesty is also a reflection upon their own honesty. It's the quality that can most enhance or most damage personal reputations. If you follow someone who's universally viewed as having impeccable character and strong integrity, then you're likely to be viewed the same. If you willingly follow someone who's considered dishonest and unethical, your own image is tarnished. In addition, there's perhaps another, subtler reason why honesty is at the top. When people follow someone they believe to be dishonest, they come to realize that they've compromised their own integrity. Over time, they not only lose respect for the leader, they lose respect for themselves. As Anand Reddy, senior engineering manager at Intel, explained, "A failure of honesty poisons the team, damages the trust between people, and breaks down team cohesion. Besides, nobody wants to follow a leader who is not honest." Honesty is strongly tied to values and ethics. Constituents appreciate leaders who take a stand on important principles. People resolutely refuse to follow those who lack confidence in their own beliefs. Confusion over where the leader stands creates stress. Not knowing the leader's beliefs contributes to conflict, indecision, and political rivalry. People simply don't trust leaders who can't or won't disclose or live by a clear set of values, ethics, and standards. You really are only as good as your word in the eyes of those you aspire to lead. Competent. To enlist in another's cause, people must believe that the leader is competent to guide them along the path to the future. They must see the leader as capable and effective. Competence is important, explained Kevin Schultz, assurance associate at PricewaterhouseCoopers LLP, because it is difficult to wholeheartedly follow someone who does not know what they are doing. If people doubt the leader's abilities, they're not going readily to enlist in the crusade. Studies point out that when people perceive their leader as incompetent, they reject the individual as well as that person's position. Leadership competence refers to the leader's track record and ability to get things done. This kind of competence inspires confidence. The leader will be able to guide the entire organization, large or small, in the direction in which it needs to go. Another benefit, as Rebecca Sanchez, local government budget analyst, pointed out, "I become a better follower because I have confidence that my leader knows what she is talking about and asking us to do." However, as Brian Dalton, finance manager with Rocket Fuel, noted, "A leader isn't expected to be an expert in everything, because if they were, then why would they even need followers? Rather, a leader is expected to have a competent understanding of the organization and be able to recruit and ask instructive and insightful questions to those who are experts in their fields." When people talk about a competent leader, they aren't referring specifically to the leader's abilities in the core technology of the operation. People demand a base level of understanding of and relevant experience in the fundamentals of the industry, market, or professional service environment. But they also know that as leaders move up in the organization's hierarchy, they can't be expected to be the most technically competent in an operational specialty. Organizations are too complex and multifunctional for that ever to be the case. The type of competence demanded also seems to vary with the leader's position and the condition of the organization. For example, expect abilities in strategic planning and policy making for those who hold officer positions. A leader on the line, or at the point of customer or client contact, typically has to be more product competent compared with someone less engaged in directly providing services or making products. An effective leader in a high-technology company may not need to be a master programmer, but must understand the business implications of electronic data interchange, networking, cloud computing, and the Internet. For people to have confidence in the competence of their leader, they need to believe that the person knows the business and understands the current operation, culture, and people in the company. They need to know that the leader has had the breadth of experiences that will enable him or her to lead through the challenges that the organization faces at the time. That is why senior leaders tend to have a broader exposure to more functions, markets, countries, and cultures than those in early career stages. The broader the experience, the more likely it is that they can be successful across organizations and industries. Inspiring. People expect their leaders to be excited, energetic, and positive about the future. A person who is enthusiastic and passionate about future possibilities conveys to others a stronger belief in those possibilities than someone who shows little or no emotion. People are most likely to believe what you are saying because they sense that you truly believe it. The worst kind of leader, from my experience, says Amber Willits, marketing specialist at Maxim Integrated, is one who stands in front of a group of people or an individual and gives zero life and energy into their dream. Hopelessness and negativity follow from those kinds of messages. How can anyone feel motivated to perform their best if their leader does not provide words of encouragement, optimism, and excitement? It's not enough, then, for a leader to have a dream. A leader must be able to communicate that vision in ways that encourage others to sign on for the duration. For one nursing supervisor, Ellen Vargas, this took the form of being contagiously enthusiastic. "I infected everyone with my passion," Ellen said, "and because I was so keen about how this new procedure could change lives, everyone else signed up." People long to find some greater sense of purpose and worth in their day-to-day working lives. Although the enthusiasm, energy, and positive attitude of the leader may not change the content of work, he or she certainly can make the context more fulfilling. Whatever the circumstances, when leaders breathe life into dreams and aspirations, people are much more willing to enlist in a common cause. Inspiring leadership speaks to people's need to have meaning and purpose in their lives. Leaders must uplift their constituents' spirits and give them hope if they're voluntarily going to engage in doing things that they have never done before. Enthusiasm and excitement are essential, and they signal the leader's personal commitment to pursuing a dream. If a leader displays no passion for a cause, why should anyone else? Furthermore, being upbeat, positive, and optimistic offers people hope that the future can be brighter. This is crucial at any time, but in times of great uncertainty, leading with positive emotions is absolutely essential to moving people upward and forward. When people are worried, discouraged, frightened, and uncertain about the present, they often struggle to focus on the possibilities of tomorrow. And the last thing they need is a leader who feeds those negative emotions. Fear does not persuade people to move ahead by being innovative and taking chances, but rather it motivates them to keep their heads down, hold on to the status quo, and stay out of the way. Fear may bring about compliance, but it never generates commitment. Instead, leaders need to communicate in words, demeanor, and actions that they believe obstacles will be overcome and dreams fulfilled. Working to achieve a shared vision, says Catherine Trapani, administrative coordinator for a university healthcare organization, necessitates that leaders get people to feel at the deepest level that by joining in the cause, their lives and those of others can be uplifted. Emotions are infectious, and positive emotions resonate throughout an organization and into relationships with other constituents. To make extraordinary things happen in extraordinary times, leaders must fuel the effort with positive emotions. Forward-looking. 62% of recent respondents to our Characteristics of Admired Leaders survey, on average, selected the ability to look ahead as one of their most sought-after leadership traits. People expect leaders to have a sense of direction and a concern for the future of the organization. Simply put, says first-year attorney Sarah Holden, if leaders want to rely on others to follow them, the leader needs to tell them where they are going and get everyone heading in the same direction. Compared to all the other leadership qualities constituents expect, this is the one that most distinguishes individuals as leaders, because this expectation directly corresponds to the ability to envision the future that people described in their personal best leadership cases. After all, if the vision is simply same old status quo, then what is the purpose of that leader anyway? Leaders are not content with things as they are today. They focus on how things should be better in the future. Whether you call that future a vision, a dream, a calling, a goal, a mission, or a personal agenda, the message is clear. Leaders must know where they're going if they expect others to willingly join them on the journey. They have to have a point of view about the future envisioned for their organizations, and they need to be able to connect that point of view to the hopes and dreams of their constituents. Gloria Leung told us that because her most admired leader at Hang Seng Bank, Hong Kong, was forward-looking, this provided us with the capacity to walk a path toward the future with great confidence and fostered shared values, because we all knew where we were heading. You can't get yourself buried in the details and lose sight of the bigger picture. Leaders must have a destination in mind when asking others to join them on a journey into the unknown. While the other three critical leadership characteristics don't vary much by hierarchical level, it isn't altogether surprising that the importance of being forward-looking does. Our surveys involving the most senior levels in organizations indicate that nearly 95% select forward-looking as a requisite leadership quality, while this percentage drops to 60% among people in frontline supervisory roles. For college students, this characteristic is typically among their top 7, but not top 4. This wide gap indicates an important difference in expectations tied to the breadth, scope, and time horizon of the job. As people move up the organizational hierarchy, their perspective on the future needs to expand. However, the ability to be forward-looking doesn't mean that people expect their leaders to have the magical power of a prescient visionary. The reality is far more down to earth. People want their leader to have a well-defined orientation toward the future. They want their leader to communicate what the organization will look like, feel like, and be like when they arrive at their destination in 6 quarters or 6 years. They want to have it described in rich detail so that they'll know themselves when they've arrived, and so that they can select the proper route for getting there. Consistency over time and place. These 4 prerequisites for leadership, honest, competent, inspiring, and forward-looking, have stood the test of time and geography, even though there have been modest changes in emphasis. For example, being honest remains at the top of the list, but it's not quite as high a percentage as in earlier times. This modest decline in honest as an admired leadership quality parallels a decline in the levels of trust people have expressed in institutional leaders worldwide. People have become more cynical about what they can actually expect from leaders, but it is important to note that honest still remains the number one quality people look for in a person they would willingly follow. The biggest change in percentage numbers is in the importance of forward-looking, which has declined in the percentage of people selecting it. Even so, it is still among the top 4, and clearly ahead in relevance compared to the remaining leadership characteristics. The modest changes in preferences underscore the remarkable consistency of people's expectation of leaders over a wide variety of personal, organizational, and cultural dimensions. These 20 leader characteristics have not changed by more than a few percentage points, plus and minus, since the first round of data collected more than 35 years ago. People continue to want their leaders to be truthful, to know what they are doing and talking about, to demonstrate genuine enthusiasm and a positive outlook, and to have a sense of direction. At the same time, you should appreciate that context matters, and the external environment may influence what people look for and admire in a leader at any given moment or in any specific organization or location. And in how you would demonstrate these crucial leadership characteristics, expectations can vary from organization to organization, function to function, group to group, and level to level. For example, data collected in healthcare organizations often finds caring to be more salient than in other environments. Being loyal dramatically increases in importance when sampling people connected with the military, while intelligent receives higher scores in academic circles, and mature gets more votes than the norm from senior citizens. Similarly, people in management positions choose forward-looking much more often than do those in exempt positions. Human resource professionals select supportive more often than other functional groups, while salespeople tend to select inspiring more frequently than their accounting counterparts do. Furthermore, there are likely to be nuances and possibly subtle differences in how leaders demonstrate these characteristics in various cultures. Appreciating these local differences is important, even while the four qualities remain universal. Putting it all together, credibility is the foundation. Honest, competent, inspiring, and forward-looking are the essential characteristics people want in a leader, someone whose direction they would willingly follow. They are the transportable part of every leader's repertoire, and you need to carry them with you wherever you go. This finding has remained constant over more than three decades of economic growth and recession, birth of the World Wide Web, globalization of the economy, new technologies, internet bubbles, explosion of mobile accessibility, rise in terrorism, immigration and refugee crises, and the ever-changing political environment. Whether you believe leaders are true to these values is another matter, but what people would like from their leaders is unchanged. This list of four qualities is useful in and of itself, but there's a more profound implication revealed by our research. These key characteristics make up what communications experts refer to as source credibility. In assessing the believability of sources of information, whether newscasters, salespeople, physicians, or priests, whether business executives, military officers, politicians, or civic leaders, researchers typically evaluate them on three criteria: their perceived trustworthiness, expertise, and dynamism. The more highly people are rated on these dimensions, the more credible they are perceived as sources of information. Notice how remarkably similar these three characteristics are to the essential qualities people want from their leaders: honest, competent, and inspiring. Three of the top four items selected in our surveys. Link the theory to the data about admired leader qualities, and the striking conclusion is that people want to follow leaders who, more than anything, are credible. Credibility is the foundation of leadership. People must be able, above all else, to believe in their leaders. To willingly follow them, people must believe that the leader's word can be trusted, that they are personally passionate and enthusiastic about their work, and that they have the knowledge and skill to lead. People also must believe that their leaders know where they're headed and have a vision for the future. Being forward-looking and having a vision is what truly makes leaders unique from other people in an organization. Leaders are expected to have a point of view about the future and to articulate exciting possibilities. People will only willingly follow when they are confident that their leaders know where they are going. The consistency and pervasiveness of these findings about the characteristics of admired leaders resulted in our development of the Kuzis-Posner First Law of Leadership. If you don't believe in the messenger, you won't believe the message. Leaders must always be diligent in guarding their credibility. Their capacity to take strong stands, to challenge the status quo, and to point in new directions depends upon being highly credible. Leaders must never take their credibility for granted, regardless of the times or their positions. To believe in the exciting future possibilities leaders present, people must first believe in their leaders. If you are going to ask others to follow you to some uncertain future, a future that may not be realized in their lifetime, and if the journey is going to require sacrifice, then it is imperative that people believe in you. All the programs to develop leaders, all the courses and classes, all the books and CDs, all the blogs and websites offering tips and techniques are meaningless unless the people who are supposed to follow believe in the person who's supposed to lead. Credibility matters. At this point, you might be saying, I know people who are in positions of power, and I know people who are enormously wealthy, yet people don't find them credible. Does credibility really matter? Does it make a difference? These are important questions, and they warrant a response. To answer them, we decided to ask the people whose answers mattered the most, the leaders' direct reports, and we found strong empirical support for the first law of leadership. Using a behavioral measure of credibility, we asked respondents to think about the extent to which their immediate manager exhibited credibility-enhancing behaviors. We found that when people perceive their immediate manager to have high credibility, they're significantly more likely to be proud to tell others they're part of the organization, feel a strong sense of team spirit, see their own personal values as consistent with those of the organization, feel attached and committed to the organization, have a sense of ownership of the organization. When people perceive their manager to have low credibility, on the other hand, they're significantly more likely to produce only if carefully watched, be motivated primarily by money, say good things about the organization publicly but criticize it privately, consider looking for another job if the organization experiences problems, feel unsupported and unappreciated. The significant impact of the leader's credibility on employee attitudes and behavior issues a clear mandate to organizational leaders. Credibility makes a difference, and leaders must take it personally. Loyalty, commitment, energy, and productivity depend upon it. And just to underscore that point, consider for a moment what researchers studying soldiers serving in hot combat zones discovered about what it takes to influence people to risk injury and even death to achieve the organization's objectives. Soldiers' perceptions of their leader's credibility determined the actual extent of influence that leader can exercise. That's in a traditionally hierarchical command and control environment. Just think what that means for your organization. Credibility comes first, and following comes second. Credibility goes far beyond employee attitudes. It influences customer and investor loyalty, as well as employee loyalty. In an extensive study of the economic value of business loyalty, Frederick Reichheld and his Bain & Company colleagues found that businesses concentrating on customer, employee, and investor loyalty generate superior results compared to those engendering disloyalty. Disloyalty dampened performance by a stunning 25% to 50%. Loyalty is clearly responsible for extraordinary value creation. So, what accounts for business loyalty? When the researchers investigated this question, our first law of leadership was substantiated in their finding that the center of gravity for business loyalty, whether it be the loyalty of customers, employees, investors, suppliers, or dealers, is the personal integrity of the senior leadership team and its ability to put its principles into practice. What is credibility behaviorally? The data confirms that credibility is the foundation of leadership. But what is credibility behaviorally? How do you know it when you see it? We've asked this question of tens of thousands of people around the globe, and the response is essentially the same, regardless of how they phrase it in one company versus another, or one country or setting versus another. Here are some of the common phrases people use to describe how they know credibility when they see it. They practice what they preach. They walk the talk. Their actions are consistent with their words. They put their money where their mouth is. They follow through on their promises. They do what they say they will do. That last comment is the most frequent response. When it comes to deciding whether a leader is believable, people first listen to the words, then they watch the actions. They listen to the talk, and then they watch the walk. They listen to the promises of resources to support change initiatives, and then they wait to see if the money and materials follow. They hear the promises to deliver on time, and then they look for evidence that the commitments are kept. When words and deeds are congruent, credible is the judgment handed down. The judgment when people don't see consistency is that the leader is, at best, unreliable, or at worst, an outright hypocrite. When their leaders practice what they preach, people are more willing to entrust them with their livelihood and even their lives. This realization provides a straightforward prescription for leaders on how to establish credibility. This is the Kuznets-Posner second law of leadership. Die WYSIWYG. Do what you say you will do. This common sense definition of credibility corresponds directly to one of the five practices of exemplary leadership identified in the personal best leadership cases. Die WYSIWYG has two essential elements, say and do. To be credible in action, leaders must be clear about their beliefs. They must know what they stand for. That's the say part. Then they must put what they say into practice. They must act on their beliefs and do. The practice of model the way links directly to these two dimensions of people's behavioral definition of credibility. This practice includes being clear about a set of values and being an example of those values to others. This consistent living out of values is what it means to be authentic and is a behavioral way of demonstrating honesty and trustworthiness. People trust and more willingly follow leaders whose deeds and words match. To gain and sustain the moral authority to lead, it's essential to model the way. Because of this important connection between words and actions, we've chosen to start the discussion of the five practices with a thorough examination of the principles and behaviors that bring model the way to life. Model the way. Practice 1. Model the way. Clarify values by finding your voice and affirming shared values. Set the example by aligning actions with shared values. Chapter 3. Clarify Values. Who are you? This is the first question your constituents want you to answer for them. Your leadership journey begins when you set out to find the answer and are able to express it. For Sumaya Shakir, IT Strategy Director at Amtrak, this is where, at a previous company, her personal best leadership experience began. The first time she engaged with her team, Sumaya told us, she found people were hostile and combative. She was taken aback by their lack of respect. It was not the kind of reception that she expected. Instead of being deterred by their reaction, however, she resolved to break the barriers that made the team dysfunctional and transform it into a collaborative star team. She understood that the place to start was not so much with them as it was with her. She told us how she had to determine what was important to her and why. I had to question myself about what I stood for, what was important to me, what approaches I was going to follow, what I was going to communicate, and what my expectations were. I had to know and believe first within myself. There were so many things that came into my mind all at once, but I had to focus on the core values I wanted to represent. Sumaya put together a checklist of basic guiding principles and shared her values with each of her teammates. Instead of telling everyone what she wanted out of them, she stated clearly what values she held and what performance criteria she demanded of herself every day. She openly communicated her values in her own words and provided her team with a vivid understanding of what kind of person she was and what they could expect from her. By sharing and explaining her values, people were better prepared to understand the reasoning behind her actions and decisions. Knowing what she stood for and why made it possible, Sumaya found, for others to explore their own values and make them transparent to their teammates. As a result, she said, we were able to build a set of shared values that enabled the team to work together effectively. The personal best leadership experience cases we've collected are at their core the stories of individuals like Sumaya, who were clear about their personal values and understood how this gave them the courage to navigate difficult situations and make tough choices. People expect their leaders to speak out on matters of values and conscience. To speak out, however, you have to have something to speak about. To stand up for your beliefs, you have to know the beliefs you stand for. To walk the talk, you have to have a talk to walk. To do what you say, you have to know what you want to say. You have to make a commitment to clarify values. In beginning your leadership journey, it's essential that you find your voice, affirm shared values. Becoming an exemplary leader requires you to fully comprehend the deeply held values, the beliefs, standards, ethics, and ideals that drive you. You have to freely and honestly choose those principles you will use to guide your decisions and actions. You have to express your authentic self, genuinely communicating your beliefs in ways that uniquely represent who you are. What's more, you have to realize that leaders aren't just speaking for themselves when they talk about the values that guide their actions and decisions. When leaders passionately express a commitment to quality, innovation, service, or some other core value, they aren't just saying, "I believe in this." They're also making a commitment on behalf of an entire organization. They're saying, "We all believe in this." Therefore, leaders must not only be clear about their personal guiding principles, but they must also make sure that there's agreement on a set of shared values among everyone they lead. Furthermore, they must hold others accountable to those values and standards. Find your voice. What would you say if someone were to ask you, "What is your leadership philosophy?" Are you prepared right now to say what your leadership philosophy is? If you aren't, you should be. If you are, you need to reaffirm it on a daily basis. Before you can become a credible leader, one who connects what you say with what you do, you first have to find your authentic voice, the most genuine expression of who you are. If you don't find your voice, you'll end up with a vocabulary that belongs to someone else, mouthing words written by some speechwriter or mimicking the language of some other leader who is nothing like you at all. If the words you speak are not your words but someone else's, you will not, in the long term, be able to be consistent in word and deed. You will not have the integrity to lead. This was the most valuable lesson that Michael Janis, Director of Strategic Marketing at Agilent Technologies, realized from reflecting upon his leadership journey. After searching, seeking, and copying the behaviors of leaders in the hopes that I would somehow magically acquire their strengths, their talents, finding success and exhaustion in the process, he explained, I've found that the real strength and talent in leadership comes from me, who I am. Identifying personal values will help you, as it did Michael, to define your leadership philosophy. Perhaps you believe that nobody really cares about your voice. Think again, because this critical comment from one financial analyst is typical of what so many people reported about their supervisors. When leaders do not understand their own personal leadership philosophy, their communication and actions can be confusing. Furthermore, if their leadership philosophy is not clear, that person's team will not know what values and beliefs should guide their actions when encountering daily challenges. This confusion will lead to low levels of team commitment, as people aren't able to either identify with or support the leader's values. To find your voice, you have to discover what you care about, what defines you, and what makes you who you are. You have to explore your inner self. You can only be authentic when you lead according to the principles that matter most to you. Otherwise, you're just putting on an act. Ivar Krokrud, the chief strategist at Questback, has taken this a step further by creating a one-page user manual so that people can understand his values. He reports that the reaction has been 100% positive. By opening himself up in this manner, Ivar finds that it just makes others open up as well, getting to know one another right from the start, avoiding typical misunderstandings and conflicts. When you fail to express your leadership philosophy in word and deed, you weaken your own and your team's engagement and effectiveness. When we ask leaders if they are clear about their leadership philosophy, those who rate themselves among the top 20% on this leadership behavior have entirely different work attitudes from their counterparts in the bottom 20%. Their scores on variables like pride in their organization, commitment to the organization's success, willingness to work hard, and overall effectiveness are more than 110% higher than those who report they are not very clear about their leadership philosophy. Moreover, the results from their direct reports are equally dramatic. Those who rate their leaders among the top 20% on clarity of their leadership philosophy have significantly more favorable feelings about their workplace than those whose leaders were ranked among the bottom 20%. For example, their responses on some specific dimensions are 130% higher on feel a strong sense of team spirit, 122% higher on proud to tell others I work for this organization, 126% higher on clear about what is expected of me, 115% higher on willingness to work harder and for longer hours if the job demanded it, 135% higher on trust management, 122% higher in feeling like I am making a difference. The evidence is clear. To be the most effective, every leader must learn to find the voice that represents who he or she is. Responses to the question of how strongly direct reports agree or disagree that overall my supervisor is an effective leader provide undeniable proof that being clear about who you are and what you stand for is essential. Those who rate their leaders in the top 20% on being clear about their leadership philosophy evaluate these leaders as nearly 140% more effective than those leaders rated by their direct reports in the bottom 20% on this critical leadership behavior. This data underscores what one frontline supervisor told us he desperately wished his manager would do. By looking within and understanding what values and beliefs are most important to him, my manager would be able to share these with our team using his own words and messaging. Clarifying his leadership philosophy would help our team identify with and support the values and beliefs that comprise my manager's leadership style. Furthermore, by having a leadership style that is truly his own and not someone else's, his actions would align with the beliefs and values he shares. My manager would be able to build consensus around the leadership philosophy. He needs to elicit feedback from the team on what values and beliefs are collectively most important to us. By doing this, my manager would be building unity in the team rather than forcing his poorly conceived and ill-considered philosophy upon us. Having the entire team support the philosophy would ensure consistency in the team's work and maintain credibility within our organization. It's for these reasons that the leadership development program at Yum Brands, the world's largest restaurant company by units, KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell, is mostly about asking participants to look inside themselves. Their viewpoint is that you are not fit to build and lead a team until you've worked hard on yourself. Ruthie Landonikoff, commercial compliance analyst at Genentech, told us how true this was for her. My values and passions are the drivers to my arguments and opinions, and self-awareness of these values is required if I want to influence others. Knowing her core values, she realized, made her both more confident in speaking to others and conveyed authenticity. Leading others begins with leading yourself, and you can't do that until you're able to answer that fundamental question about who you are. When you have clarified your values and found your voice, you will also find the inner confidence necessary to take charge of your life. Let your values guide you. After 7 years of rigorous research, a landmark study of the observations from more than 100 CEOs and over 8,000 of their employees found that leaders who were clear about their values delivered as much as 5 times greater returns for their organizations, as did leaders of weak character. This finding on what management consultant Fred Keel refers to as strong character resonates with what Courtney Balla told us. You find your voice by letting your values guide you and then sharing them with others. As a sales supervisor for a Michael Kors fashion accessory store, Courtney told us that when working in retail, it is very common to get employees from different ethnic backgrounds, ages, educational levels, and varying degrees of commitment. But as long as you are honest, open, and willing to listen to their values, you will be able to find common ground. She described a situation where she was not initially getting along with Tracy, one of her underperforming associates. Having grown comfortable with her voice, Courtney got together with Tracy, talked about her values, and invited Tracy to do the same. I helped Tracy express what her reasons were for what and why she worked for the store, as well as provided her the opportunity to talk to me about her values. These 2 steps were paramount in fixing our work relationship and leading to the future success of the team. I've learned that not everyone you encounter in the workplace is going to think like you and approach problems in the same way. Therefore, by affirming our shared values and finding each other's voices, we are able to communicate more effectively and build levels of trust that are unparalleled. The outcome of this situation was that my work relationship with Tracy became much stronger, and overall store productivity and morale increased. A value is an enduring belief, which scholars routinely divide into 2 categories, means and ends. In the context of our work on leadership, we use the term values to refer to here and now beliefs about how you should accomplish things. In other words, means values. We will use the term vision in chapters 5 and 6 to indicate the long-term ends values that leaders and constituents aspire to attain. Leadership requires both. Values are your personal bottom line. They influence every aspect of your life. For example, moral judgments, commitments to personal and organizational goals, the way you respond to others. They serve as guides to action and set the parameters for the hundreds of decisions you make every day, consciously and subconsciously. They inform the priorities you set and the decisions you make. They tell you when to say yes and when to say no. They also help you explain the choices you make and why you make them. Being clear about your values helps you perform better in difficult circumstances. You seldom consider or act on options that run counter to your value system. If you do, it's with a sense of compliance rather than commitment. If you believe, for instance, that diversity enriches innovation and service, then you know what to do if people with differing views keep getting cut off when they offer up fresh ideas. If you value collaboration over individual achievement, then you'll know what to do when your best salesperson skips team meetings and refuses to share information with colleagues. If you value independence and initiative over conformity and obedience, you'll be more likely to challenge something your manager says when you believe it's not right. Without a doubt, in these chaotic times, having a set of deeply held values allows leaders to focus and make choices among a plethora of competing theories, demands, and interests. Paul DeBari's operations section within Engineering Services took on the new responsibility for physical security of the Veterans Affairs Palo Alto Healthcare System's 2.2 million square foot facility. This meant hiring a new technician to manage the security system and establishing a new contractor relationship. To get the job going, Paul called a meeting with the new technician and contractor to figure out the status of the current access system, any open projects, and any assignments on the horizon. He used this meeting to vocalize his values about how the newly developed team would work, his vision moving forward, and his expectations for all parties. His values around project timelines, preparations, submittals, and execution, for example, would require more detailed attention than in the past. He also hoped that they would create a new sense of accountability. It was imperative to the long-term success of this program and this new team that I clearly explained what my values were, my project management style and expectations, Paul told us. Paul had to establish his voice as a leader by clearly stating management objectives and goals, as well as his leadership principles. By defining them unambiguously, he was establishing